Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, what's your go-to lullaby? You still do lullabies?
Sure I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I do it in this kind of like jazzy way because I can't stand this lullaby, but it has been introduced to my daughter. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetops, when the wind blows, that cradle will rock. When the bound breaks, that cradle will fall, and hey, down will come, baby, cradle and all.
Do you find that this is too jazzy for a go-to-sleep song?
Yes, but I feel like it negates the weirdness of that song.
Does it?
Yeah. How is this in any way comforting? Like, there's a baby, it's tied up in a tree, it's just precariously hung there so that when the wind comes, it just topples over and the baby just falls to the forest floor.
Yeah, you know, I started thinking about this when you brought this up earlier. I was thinking back to my own childhood, and there were two songs that my mom would pretty much use as default lullabies. One, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Which is also sad.
Which also does have this tinge of sadness, but not, you know, morbid sadness. It's just about, hey, you're going to get older and then you're going to, you know, some of your dreams are going to die.
And you're going to die.
And you're eventually going to die.
The Magic Dragon will live on.
Yeah.
And look for another child to replace you.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that dark on it, but essentially, yes. But the other one was All the Pretty Little Horses, which at first I was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with that one at all. It's just about when you know, wake, you're going to have all the pretty little horses. But then I actually looked the lullaby up, and there's a second verse that my mom didn't sing that's talking about how there's a poor little lambie and with bees and butterflies pecking at its eyes until the poor lambie cries for mama.
Well, I think what makes that worse is that your last name is Lamb. So she's probably like, yeah. Mom, my kid's thinking that he's going to get his eyes pecked out, him specifically. But you also know when Cormac McCarthy makes the title of a lullaby, his book title, that is probably not serene terrain.
Yeah, there's probably, there you go, because he's not going to write about something unless there's a little death or a lot of death woven into the tapestry of the subject matter. And that's what we see with lullabies. We see a lot of darkness in the lullaby, as well as a lot of comfort And that's one of the reasons it makes for such a delightful podcast topic, because it's not this straightforward cutout thing.
No, yeah, because it really, yeah, there are a lot of different layers to this. And one is, again, that universality of it. There are lullabies all over the world. And according to Zoe Palmer, who is a musician working on a lullabies project at Royal London Hospital, she says that wherever you go in the world, women use the same tones, the same sort of way of singing to their babies. And she's seen this in the project over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And lullabies are usually in triple meter or 6/8 time, which kind of gives them that characteristic rocking feeling to them, or that motion.
Yeah, that rockabye, back and forth, slow, soothing tones. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's kind of interesting to see that in so many different cultures around the world. Now, the morbidity thing is also a universal.
And we see both of those in the fact that you can look back to 2,000 years BCE to ancient Babylon, and you find evidence of lullabies used then. And it's a menacing lullaby in which a baby is chastised for disturbing the house god with its crying. So the idea is look, it's time for you to go to sleep, because if you do not stop crying, you will wake a demon and it will eat you.
I love that it's inscribed on clay tablets.
Yes.
It's like one of the first lullabies.
And I found this to be a suitable, it's suitable insight into the parenting mind about, you know, when you're reaching that point with a child where you're like, I love you. You need to get some sleep. I need to get some sleep. If you do not get some sleep, demons are going to come for all of us.
Well, I think it explains the popularity of the adult book, and I'm going to have to get bleeped out here, called Go the F*** to Sleep.
Oh, yes.
Which is this book for parents that kind of, it ends in this refrain every page, like saying goodbye, moon, good night.
Yeah, in a way, it's kind of a take on the whole Goodnight Moon book, which I've read 1,000 times. And I didn't get the Go the F to Sleep book so much before I had a child.
Uh-huh.
Because before I was like, that seems a little harsh, you know, even in, you know, I know it's a joke and I know it's for the adults and not for the kids. But I was like, I don't know about that. That seems a bit much. But then I had a child who we brought back to the country with a completely reverse sleep cycle,
mm-hmm.
and I totally got it.
At 4 a.m., you're like, oh, that book is brilliant.
Yes.
I got it. All right, so if you look at a lullaby sung by the Luo people in Western Kenya, it starts with rock, rock, like rockabye baby, but then it ends with the baby who cries will be eaten by a hyena, which is an actual possibility in that part of the world.
Yeah, and certainly if you go back through time and think of our primordial ancestors, the baby's crying because it's the crying response is supposed to get human attention, and arguably is also there so that if the child dies too early, you're not going to be as upset about it. I've seen that theory proposed as well, but it could conceivably clue in animal predators, other human adversaries to your whereabouts.
I was thinking about that too. That would be a telltale sign. So it's like, hush, hush, man, the hyena is going to come and get us. And then it made me think about when kids get older and they start playing hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is a way of teaching children how to become quiet when they can understand this game of trying to escape a predator.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes that's the only time my son is quiet is when he's running off to hide somewhere or hide behind the door or whatnot.
Yeah. It's a kind of interesting little hangover there of that. But so it turns out though that not all lullabies are completely morbid. And Zoe Palmer, from the Lullaby Project, has said that some of them are telling you the history of a country or telling you how you should or shouldn't run your life. And she says it's kind of like advice columns for babies.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, you're talking to this child, you're talking at this child, and on some level, you want to already start imparting important information to them. I mean, on a very basic level, you're dealing at them with language and the very basics of human communication. But already you're projecting all these additional wants and needs and expectations on this child, that they should be familiar with their country's heritage. They should be familiar with morality, etc.
Yeah, and that just reminds me, too, that we do teach a lot of things with song, right? Our ABCs are learned with song. And we've talked about this before, the power of song to instill a really strong memory in the brain. So it would make sense that this is the way that kids are getting information about hyenas and such.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to the songs, I feel like so much of the language we end up using with young children, we're just using everything as kind of sing-song. You know, like the first time you point out an elephant, you don't go, "Hey, kid, that's an elephant." You go, "Elephant." You know, you make it, mm-hmm. you're making the word into a song, and that makes sense, as we discussed in our episodes dealing with the power of music and how music works with the mind. That's part and parcel to how we acquire language.
Yeah, and so it's not so crazy when you think about this idea that lullabies have a kind of power beyond developing cognition in children or cognitive skills. There's a 2013 study published in the Psychology of Music Journal that showed that lullabies have really beneficial effects on the body. And the music study involved 37 pediatric patients at the Great Ormond Street Hospital in London, and those patients had cardiac or respiratory problems. Now, the patients were between the ages of 7 days and 4 years old, and each child was involved in 3 10-minute sessions involving lullaby singing or story reading or a third control session with just no interaction. Then their physiological responses and perceived pain levels were measured before and after each session. So I wanted to cover just the mechanism by which they were measured, because it's probably a big question mark, especially with a 7-day-old. Like, how do you measure pain?
Mm-hmm.
So their heart rates and oxygen levels were measured with non-invasive device called a pulse oximeter. And then their pain level was measured on the Children's Hospitals of East Ontario Pain Scale, which is this really trusted behavioral scale used to assess pain in young children. So the CHEOPS scale includes 6 categories: crying, facial, child verbal, torso, touch and legs, and scoring ranges from 4 to no pain to 13, which is the worst pain. All right, so we got all that out of the way. So now we know how they did this. What they found is that the children's average heart rate had reduced from 134.1 to 128.7, and their pain rating had fallen from 6.21 to 5.64. So here's the thing. It was just the lullaby sessions that had this effect, not the storytelling and not the control.
Okay, so there's something to them, not just to the interaction, but to the musical interaction that's going on here.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's also crazy when you think about the fact that an infant can recognize a lullaby heard in the womb several months after birth. So the child is in the womb, in utero, listening to music, mm-hmm. but hearing the lullaby that the mom is singing it. And then months and months later, it can recognize Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. This was actually proven out in a study at the University of Helsinki. 24 women during the final trimester of their pregnancies. Half the women were played the melody Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to their fetuses 5 days a week for the final stages of their pregnancy. And the brains of the babies who heard the melody in utero reacted more strongly to the familiar melody both immediately and 4 months after the birth when compared to the control group that didn't hear the music. So the take-home here, the larger take-home outside of lullabies, is that fetuses can recognize and remember sounds from the outside world. But already we're seeing the soothing power of music even before it has exited the womb.
And I think that's an important point because people don't typically think of the auditory qualities of the womb or fetuses absorbing that. Mm-hmm. But imagine if you were closed inside this, you know, nice fluid filled room, almost like the soaking, I was going to say soaking tubs, but they're not that. The sensory deprivation chambers, yes. Right? And you had nothing but sound to orient yourself to. Mm-hmm. Then you probably would have this really strong relationship with those sounds around you and the sounds outside.
This also brings my mind back to our podcast episode on underwater sound and underwater music, which is not a huge area of music listening, but you do see people who get really into listening to music underwater. Because the way the sound waves carry in the water, how it interacts with the skull, is supposedly a very unique way to take in the sound.
I'm sure that it's got to be a very soothing way as well. Unless it's just like total headbanger stuff. But even that, in a muffled way, might be kind of nice.
Yeah, like there's sort of the ambient noise of that one might experience in the womb. And of course, you more often encounter this with individuals who are, say, throwing a bunch of Mozart at their still womb imprisoned child, or some other type of music, thinking they're going to have some sort of profound impact on the child to make the child smarter or more inclined to like bluegrass upon exiting the womb.
And speaking of exiting the womb, we've talked about this before, the fact that humans gestate for just three trimesters, which is pretty short in the mammal world. And so some people have theorized that once the baby is born, those first 3 months are more like the fourth trimester, and therefore babies need to be comforted in a way that is more womb-like with the sounds and with the swaddling.
Yeah, I've read that this is due in part to our bipedal nature, because when we made the shift from a quadruped to a biped, suddenly we're walking on two legs. It changes the way that our pelvis is shaped, which narrows the exit route, the escape route for that baby. So the baby has to come out earlier when it's smaller, and therefore, to a certain extent, all human babies are premature.
So now consider true premature babies, and you really get that sense of how important it is to have that sort of womb-like exterior refuge for the child. And if you look at lullabies and you look at preemies, you can see some really astounding information. There was a study published online in Pediatrics in 2013. It detailed 272 babies in 11 different NICUs around the country. And NICU is just an acronym for basically neonatal clinic for newborns. And the babies were born at least 32 weeks in gestation. And they were all pretty small for their gestational age, and they had different health issues, as preemies often do. Now, three times a week for 2 weeks, music therapists would play two-tone heartbeat womb sounds and other whoosh audio cues, which were synchronized with the baby's vital signs. And it was monitored by their breathing rate, their eye movements, and other monitors. So think about this. This is intentional sort of gestational sounds that are synchronized with their bodies. Now, parents and therapists were also asked to sing a preferred lullaby called Songs of Kin, which I'm not familiar with.
Okay.
Or Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, if they didn't have a selected song. Remo Ocean Disc, and this is a type of music device, was associated with the best blood oxygen levels and quiet alert states in the preemies. And sucking behavior, which is super important in preemies because they're not quite there yet so that they can accept milk from the mother.
Right.
Or even breastfeed. So the sucking thing is really important developmentally in preemies. And that was best with something called the Gatto Box, which is, again, another kind of music device. Now, singing was shown to increase alert times the best, and babies of parents who chose their own song had better feeding behaviors, and they consumed more calories compared to the twinkle babies. So this, it doesn't say this in the study, but perhaps this ties back to this idea that those children became familiar with those tunes in the womb. Because those are personal to the parents, to their experience.
It also makes it sound like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star is no parent's favorite lullaby.
And yet kids love it.
Yeah.
Well,
they love it because it's, I don't know, it's easy to sing. It's kind of like Itsy Bitsy Spider. Kids love Itsy Bitsy Spider, but it really doesn't offer much to the adult.
I think it's because they couldn't coordinate their hands to it.
Oh, yeah, the little...
The spider going up the spout. And the same thing with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, because they use their hands to flash out the sign of flashing stars, I suppose.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the effect of lullabies on adults.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential, and then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
All right, we are back, and we're going to talk about adult pregnant women.
Yes.
And them listening to lullabies.
Yes, exactly. As it turns out, music therapy can reduce psychological stress among pregnant women as well. And this makes sense because pregnancy is a very stressful time. It's mm-hmm. it's a long period of long-term periods of stress, anxiety, hope, fears, everything you can pretty much feel as a human you're going to feel.
Extreme hormone changes as well.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
And so we have an interesting study here. This was from the College of Nursing at Kaohsiung Medical University in Taiwan. They randomly assigned 116 pregnant women to a music group and 120 to a control group. So it's pretty obvious what's going to happen here. The people in the music group, they're listening to music. They're listening to a lullaby CD that includes songs like Brahms' Lullaby, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, as well as stuff like a little Beethoven, a little Debussy, other little bits of mm-hmm. classical go-to-sleep music. And they, in fact, found that the music group showed significant reductions in stress, anxiety, and depression after just 2 weeks. And they used three different established measurement scales on this particular study.
Yeah, the scales are important. Just, and we won't go way deep into this, but just so you know how they kind of weeded this information out, they used the perceived stress scale, and they also used the state trait anxiety inventory, and then a third scale, which was called the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale. So they took the three different scales, and they tested them before and after, and what they found is that there were significant drops in their scores when they were listening to music, that particularly like the lullaby music and mm-hmm. the nature sounds and crystals tinkling in the background.
Yeah, that's important to note too, that it wasn't just classical music and traditional nursery songs, but also these sort of soothing nature sounds, sort of ambient use it.
Yeah, and the control group, just they had very tiny, minuscule drops that just weren't really significant. So, of course, this would bear out this idea that the actual music therapy, they were just going to listen to this, would actually decrease any thoughts of depression or anxiety, which is really important. I also wanted to point out that these 30-minute music CDs had music that kind of mimic the human heart rate, and we're talking about between 60 and 80 beats per minute, which I think is the key to a lot of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of getting you back to the relaxed level of human operations, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I was thinking about this, it's placing the pregnant woman inside the memory of the womb of her mother, in which there were 60 to 80 beats per mm-hmm. minute. Because, again, like, put yourself in the place of the fetus. If you're in there, what are you going to hear? What's going to be that strong signal coming through? It's the human heartbeat.
Right.
So that, I think, is the key to that kind of music becoming a soothing sort of oceanic quiescence that our minds can kind of just float on. And that takes us to this idea of electronic music as perhaps having the ability to embody this in one of the best ways that different types of music can.
Yeah, I mean, the second that you mentioned the heartbeat sound, I started thinking of various pieces of music that I've heard that echo that kind of heartbeat in one way, shape, or another. And also that sort of that floaty feeling, that liquidy feeling.
Yeah.
And sort of the muffled ambient noise outside of the womb. I mean, you do hear that a lot in ambient music and in music that has a sort of ambient DNA.
Now, this is from Pop Matters. This is a website in the article. It's called The Science of Sleep, The Electronic Lullaby by Timothy Gabriel. And he writes, the womb is a regular fallback cliche for the music writer, particularly one fumbling for a description of murky psychedelic sonics. Floating there, comfortably perched in a vat of amniotic fluid, the fetus's ear, not yet fully developed, is encased with liquid, surrounded by a protective layer of vernix, muffling the roughly 80 to 90 decibel chronic din of blood pumping through the mother's arteries. And he goes on to say that newborns, it would seem to him, are predisposed to noise music, specifically that of a fuzzy, warm, and liquid timbre, that liquidity that you just talked about.
Which is also a reason why you see all of these white noise generators, right, for young children. Helps
yeah.
them sleep, creates generally a more static ambient environment for them to sleep in, but it's still, in a sense, ambient noise music nonetheless.
Yeah, and he says that this plays perfectly into this kind of womb soundscaping, because he says that it's the perfect venue for that womb stimulation. He says ambient and experimental electronic music regularly incorporates sounds like running water, hums, drones, buzzes, noise, Tibetan throat singing, and other low-frequency tones, all of which value electroacoustic spaces similar in rhythm and overtone to the prenatal environment.
Yeah, and I mean, it's great for us adults, too. I mean, it works on all types of humans.
Yeah.
I subscribe to the Hearts of Space podcast. Well, it's not really a podcast, it's a radio show, however you want to look at it, but music from Hearts of Space, I think, a lot of NPR listeners are going to be familiar with that. Bay Area artist, all of it ambient in nature, ranging from sort of ambient classical music to mm-hmm. like space guitars to you know, electronic German space music, etc. And I'll almost always put a little of that on in the evening to sort of drift off into a peaceful sleep.
Do you listen to it during your research as well?
It depends on the research. Sometimes I go to a very ambient, I'm almost always playing music while I'm researching. And if it's something that requires a little more thought or is maybe a little spacey in and of itself, then mm-hmm. I may go with something more ambient and spacey. But if it's something just like, if I'm just, you know, cutting some images for the website and stuff that doesn't require as much brain power, then I'm more inclined to listen to something that is more noisy and more high energy.
Now, this isn't to say that all electronic music is evocative of a gestational sound environment, only that it really lends itself well to this.
Yeah.
And Gabriel had given an example, Brian Eno. He mm-hmm. said Brian Eno's original idea of ambient music as, quote, wallpaper, and Eric Satie's referral of his proto-ambient pieces as furniture music, another quote, indicate a tendency in the sound itself to provide a means for shelter for the listener. That's interesting. Shelter for the listener. To reproduce a home using oral space. It's not for nothing that Eno's own discreet music was allegedly administered in hospitals as a maternal aid to facilitate labor. Its comforting tones providing assistance for breathing exercises during the stressful period leading up to delivery. Its sound as security.
Yeah, Brian Eno, I think, is a tremendous example of this sort of thing. As like one example that specifically comes to mind would be music for airports, which, of course, he wrote with the idea here being this is the kind of music you could play in an airport, a place of stress and transition, and make it a little more peaceful for the humans that are having to navigate it. And it is a very soothing, drifty piece. And you find that in a lot of Eno's music. For my own part, I also see a little bit of that in the works of Steve Reich, Terry Riley, Peter Gabriel's The Last Temptation of Christ soundtrack, Sigur Rós, Boards of Canada, some of Aphex Twin's more ambient works, and Mark Van Hoen.
So the question Gabriel brings up, which I thought was really interesting, is that is noise music or noisy music just a regression or infantilization? And it's, you know, it's fair. It's like, are we going toward electronic music in these instances because we are needing that comfort?
I mean, it throws me off a little bit when he uses the word infantilization.
Because you don't want to feel like a big baby with pacifiers.
Well, yeah, exactly. But at the end of the day, that's a very comforting place to be with your music, too. I mean, music, I think, you know, music should challenge you at times. Music should rev you up at times. But there's nothing like a piece of music that returns you to the womb or puts you in a very, you know, drifty, spacey, womb-like environment.
Should we listen to a little sample of what this might sound like?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's an example that I think fits pretty perfectly with what we're talking about here. This is Horizon Glow by Australian artist Option Command off the 2011 Horizon Glow EP released on King Deluxe Records. You can find out more about King Deluxe and this particular artist at kingdeluxe.ca. So let's listen to this track and see where it takes us. What I like about that particular track and why I think it's a good example is that there is this driftiness to it, this ambient, disembodied feeling, mm-hmm. but there is also a little bit of noise, a little bit of glitchiness that's lost in there, which you can easily imagine as being the muffled chaos of the outside world.
Well, I was just thinking even the title, Horizon Glow, mm-hmm. has this idea of looking at this light from beyond that just sort of seems infinite and sort of, you know, receding and melting outward. And yeah, a kind of motion to it.
Well, there you have it. Lullabies, the science of lullabies, a little bit of the culture of lullabies. This song that the mother sings to the child, born or unborn, that is at once soothing. It is also full of ideas, some positive ideas about what parenting is and what having a child is, as well as a way to perhaps vent some of the more negative and realistic ideas about what it means to bring this fragile creature into the world.
Indeed, I like that idea of advice columns for babies.
Yeah, indeed.
If you guys have any thoughts on lullabies, we certainly want to hear them.
Yes, you can reach us in all the usual places. StuffToBlowYourMind.com is the mothership. That's where you'll find all the podcast episodes, all the videos, the blog posts, etc. You can find us on Tumblr, on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, where we are Mind Stuff Show. And I'm reminded now that a number of listeners have written in over the years and mentioned that they listen to this podcast as in the evening as they're drifting off to sleep. So in a sense, we are a lullaby full of inspiring and cautionary information, and perhaps our voices are soothing as well.
Advice columns for your subconscious.
Yeah. So it's probably fitting that that as we spiral everything out here, we should also close with a little bit of that track, Horizon Glow by Option Command. And Julie, is there a means that the waking listener can get in touch with us?
Indeed. In fact, it just occurred to me that if you have a strong idea about a lullaby, one that you really like or one that you think is just terrible or just so dark, that you want to share it with us, let us know. You can email us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.